the Fade 5 Podcast with Brad Evans and Nate Lundy.
Place your bets at Jack Wagons. Bradley McNoise over there, joined by the good sir, Nathaniel Lundy. Tis indeed another rollicking edition of the Fade 5 Podcast. I am here in Central Illinois, surrounded by corn and soybeans and swine, Lundy, which is only appropriate that we talk about the Midwest region of the NCAA tournament. So let's go ahead and honk, honk, hop aboard the plus bus. What plus 100 odds or greater wager has your enticement, my man?
It not only has my enticement, it has my personal safety within the confines of my home.
Yes, it does.
Give me Kansas to make it to the Sweet 16, Brad.
Really?
Yep. Give me Kansas to make it to the Sweet 16.
Wow.
I think they will be a little rusty in the first round matchup. I do not believe that they will lose to Samford. I know that Hunter Dickinson has already been practicing. The expectation is that McCullough is going to do that probably by today. So I think they will wind up with that. There is not a lot of depth to this team. I will admit that. But I do believe that the defense that they play, top 10 in adjusted defensive efficiency, according to KenPom, is going to be enough. And if they make it out of the first round, which I know has my wife nervous as all hell, but if they make it out of the first round, I do believe that they are a better team than Gonzaga. And so over at BetMGM, this bet is plus 100. But at DraftKings, it's plus 125. And I will take that extra 25 cents. And I will say that Bill Self finds a way to win two games in the tournament. Now, by the time he makes it to Detroit, totally different story. However, to Detroit. By the time he makes it there, totally different discussion. And I don't plan on necessarily riding the Rock Chalk Jayhawk wave. But at plus 125 for them to make the Sweet 16, I think there is a reason that this team was who they were at the beginning of the year. They have more quad one games than anybody. Don't talk to me about the fact they went 9-9 over the course of their last 18. Bill Self knows how to do this. I think they're going to be fine, and I think they make it to the third round.
Oh, the missus is going to be shivering in her sneakers. I'm going to have more on Kansas a little bit later on the podcast. My honk honk plus bus play. Give me Creighton to reach the Elite Eight. I grabbed this at FanDuel, kind of an odd juice there, but nearly 2-1 plus 198. And I think this is an exceptional value. Obviously Tennessee is going to be their toughest opponent in that section of the bracket, but man, this team is playing at an extraordinarily high level. They're drawing Akron in the first round, should blow the doors off them. But look at Creighton, number 4 overall at Bartorvik's Advanced Analytics over the last month. They're number 26 in EFG offense, number 107 in EFG defense. I like the construct of this team, and Greg McDermott runs some of the best sets you'll ever see offensively. And when you got a guy in Ryan Kalkbrenner at 7'1", he is the ultimate rim protector. He shoot over 71% from 2 on the season, and he is flanked by the former Fighting Jackrabbit and Baylor Shireman, who may be able to catch fire here this postseason, and Ashworth, who's got a hot hand right now from outside. Trey Alexander can beat you off the bounce, also drain some triples. They got guys in their starting five. They just really pile up the points, got some glue guys as well. I just love the design of this overall team and they're playing at an exceptionally high level at the right time. So great to reach the Elite Eight, to knock the balls out of the southern side of the Midwest bracket. I'm entirely buying it with them going toe-to-toe, more than likely with the Purdue Boilermakers and Zach Edey. With those bets on the board, let's get after it with another edition of the Fade 5.
Number 5.
Numero cinco here on the countdown. Let's go back to the BOLS. Do not tell my colleague, Danny Kluppinger from Live Online, used to work for the University of Tennessee. She's a fangirl of an institution, that I am taking the under on the Vols, 75.5 team total points against St. Peter's. The Fighting Peacocks are back in the dance. They're not going to be a Cinderella story. Let's keep it real here. Tennessee's going to win this game. St. Peter's is lucky to be back in the dance. But what St. Peter's does well is they slow you down. Number 310 in the country in adjusted tempo. and they play defense. They are number 8 nationally in effective field goal percentage defense over the last month, giving up just 43.3% inside the arc. Yeah, that's it. And 28.4% outside of it. I understand Tennessee's got better athletes. They may have better overall dudes. And one of those dudes is named Dalton Kincaid. He may be able to go out there, get 30 or 35 points in this game. But, you know, Zakai Ziegler, we'll see. Some of the other players and Volunteers, Orange, we'll see if they step up. I don't see the Volunteers in a likely a limited possession game, knowing the defensive chops of St. Peter's getting to 76 points. Chair on top of the Sunday, Luddy, they're number 278 in effective field goal percentage offense or the Volunteers the last month. So put that all together, give me the under on Tennessee, 75.5 team total points against St. Peter's in round one, -110 at DraftKings. Vader, follow.
Seems like a very odd number. I'm just saying, it just seems
higher or lower.
Well, no, Brad, you dipshit. I know how over and unders work, okay?
Hey, just, it's over or under. It's all dirt.
Come on, dude. Give me a break. I think it's a very well-set number, I guess, is my point. It's not one that just jumps out at me like, damn it, hammer the under. Which, you know, there have been some spreads, some numbers, things like that, that I have been all about, where I've just like absolutely hammer the living crap out of that because it just jumps out at me. This isn't one of them. But I'm going to yield. I will yield to you that Tennessee will stay underneath that 75.5. I'm going to follow because you know this better than I do, but this number to me seems like it's really well set.
With the over under in the game at 129.5, just throwing that out there, 75.5. I'm no mathematician, but that's high, bro.
Number 4.
All right, Numero Quattro here on the Fade 5 Countdown. We're focused on the Midwest region, the NCAA tournament. I'm going to go with Utah State. Oh, my God, Evans, you're back another Mountain West team? You're damn right I am, because they're on a revenge tour, baby! So disrespected by the selection committee. And the team that outright won the regular season, I think, is going to showcase their skills going against the Great Horny Toads of TCU in a game of Frogger. They're going to get smushed by an 18-wheeler. So, you know, in fact, I'm catching points here. I'll take that all day with the Aggies. -110 juice there at BetMGM. Utah State has a dude in the post. He's from England. His name, I'm not making this up, folks, it's real and it's spectacular. Great Ozabor. Great. G-R-E-A-T. And he lives up to his first name. He's been unbelievable. He's averaged 18 points a game. And he is a primary reason why they're number 37 in the country in the last 30 days in EFG offense. They're netting 57.6%, as a matter of fact, inside the arc and 35% outside of it. Defensively, there's question marks, admittedly, with Utah State, number 216 in EFGD, where they're most beatable is on the interior, giving up 55.4%. But a team that really gets after on the defensive glass, and they get to the free throw line a lot, and they make you pay there. An exceptional team. So if this is nip and tuck, Utah State, I think, would have the advantage. They're catching 3 points. You look at TCU. Yeah, they play in the rough and rugged Big 12. But over last month, 307 in EFG offense, 216 in EFG defense. They have so many self-inflicted wounds. Their turnover rate has been sky high all year. They get after on the offensive glass. But again, one of the strengths of Utah State is sealing off the defensive glass. So you put it all together. I watched them, and I just came back with such a vanilla attitude about the Horned Frogs that I can't buy them. Give me Utah State +3, -110 at BetMGM. Lundy, Vader, follow.
I will fade you on this one, my friend.
Really?
I think TCU is going to play more physical than what Utah State.
Hang on a second. Is the Mountain West history ATS? I think they're like 2-12 their last 14 NCAA tournament games. Is that playing a factor here?
Yes, it is. And I think, frankly, unfortunately, the one thing that, even though you and I love Mountain West basketball, I think the committee got biased by things that have happened in the past, which they should not have been doing, by the way. But I digress. We already talked about that on one of the previous episodes. But I think TCU covers with this one. I think they have been more physically tested with their play over the course of the regular season. And I think that they're going to be able to, push Utah State around a little bit. I think this is going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a good game, but I could see TCU in a position where they win this by like five. I mean, I don't think they're going to blow Utah State out. I don't think that. I just think three is not enough points for me to be to feel comfortable with the Aggies. So a good example here is, look, when we were talking about the South region on one of the previous episodes, I talked about the idea of taking a contest and bumping the spread up, right? You know, sitting back going, okay, I'm not really comfortable at, you know, 5.5, but if you could bump me up to 10.5, I'd be fine. This might be an example of that, right? I talked about taking some alt lines and putting a couple of them together. This might be one where if you told me that I could alt line Utah State up to like 8.5, I probably would feel comfortable with it because I do think TCU wins, but I think the Aggies will keep it close.
Ah, fly the Union Jack for great odds aboard. I say Utah State covers.
Number three.
Numero tres here on the feed at five countdown. We're focusing on the Midwest region. I like the Cox. I'm talking about a bird, all right? The Gamecocks of South Carolina. Lamont Paris, a guy that earned SEC Coach of the Year honors for a reason. I'm going to lay the 1.5 against the Oregon Ducks. I think Lundy's going to side with me just because he says F the Ducks. He's an Oregon State Beaver. And I know Dana Altman, he's won like 7 straight first-round NCAA tournament games, and everybody's hanging their hat on that trend. Oh, you can't you never fade Tom Izzo, and you never fade Dana Altman. Early in March. You just don't do it unless you like losing money. I don't subscribe to such trends. I zeroed in on the matchup. And the reason why I like South Carolina is very simple. You look at them last 30 days, number 37 at Bartovic. Where is Oregon ranked in that category? Number 56. South Carolina, they love to keep it in a half court grind. Yeah, Keith Sweat. You know you want it, baby. Oh, they hit that twisted in the background. You know, slow jams, man. That's what they're down with. Number 320 in adjusted tempo the last 30 days. Very good defensive team, limiting opponents just 49.3% inside the arc and close to 33% outside of it. Generate a lot of second chance opportunities, subpar offensively. But you look at Oregon, and Bali Dante has been unbelievable here the last couple of games. I think at one point he had 15 straight shots. Now, most of those, you know, were dunks. And if I had his length and athletic ability, I could say, yeah, man, I had 15 straight shots because they were all the near proximity variety. But still, he's a handle, a load to get a hold of. But he look at Oregon, 261 in EFGD over the last 30 days. They've overachieved. They're only shooting 27.6% from distance over their last 8 games. You pull it all together, they're going to cool off. I think South Carolina, I think the SEC's ruggedness prepared them better. And again, if they bring their exceptional defensive effort, they're going to shut the Ducks down and turn them into fagua. So give me South Carolina -1.5 against Oregon -110 at BetMGM. Lundy, fair to follow.
Hold on a second, Brad. Hold on a second.
Oh, he's stripping. Oh, I see what you're doing. Uh-huh.
You know what it is with the Def Leppard shirt on for those that aren't watching the video? Brad, it's Armageddon. It's Armageddon it.
It is.
Armageddon it, Brad. Yeah, give me the Ducks. Give me the Ducks on the money line at +100. Give me the Ducks to win this one straight up. The last time team from Oregon decided to go on a stupid run on the way into the tournament was my Oregon State Beavers 3 years ago, and they made it all the way to the Elite Eight. They just, I don't know what the hell's going on. Wayne Tinkle. He was basically John Wooden on that run. He was the greatest coach in the history of college basketball. And you know, they've been dog shit ever since. I'm going straight Armageddon. You know why? Because this is not a heart pick. This is my money. And my money tells me that I do not want to fade Mr. Altman, and I do not want to fade a team that is red hot and basically has nothing to lose, because that's exactly what Oregon State did 3 years ago when they went on that ridiculously stupid run that they did. They had no business being in the tournament, and Wayne Tinkle figured out how to get those guys to match up and how to basically get them to recognize, hey, you're playing with house money. Have a good time. I believe the Ducks are going to do the same thing. So straight up Armageddon it. I know it is completely sacrilegious for me, but I'm talking with my wallet right now and not my heart. I think Oregon wins this game, and I will take them on the money line plus 100 right now, straight up.
Rescind your allegiance, good sir, to Oregon State. You're back at the Ducks. What the?
Number two.
Numero dos here on the Fade 5 countdown. Got to collect myself because I'm in utter shock at that latest development on the podcast. I'm going to go with McNeese. Will Wade, +6.5 against the Gonzaga Bulldogs. This is obviously not going to be a popular selection in FBI pools. All right. It's just not. No FBI agent's going to be like, oh, yeah, Will Wade, we're going to back that dude up after what he said on tape and our investigations that we spent an ungodly amount of time on for nothing. But I think they're going to get the cover +6.5 against the Zags -110 at BetMGM. I'm describing these as a poor, poor man's version of the Houston Cougars. They play a very similar style. They're not particularly big. Many of their guys like in the 6'2 to 6'7 range. But they are annoying AF in myriad ways, and especially defensively. They force a turnover on 23.1% of opponent possessions over the last 30 days. They're generating an offensive rebound 37.3% of the time. Again, those are strengths of Houston. Very similar team construct. Team two, number 54 DFG offense the last 30 days. They're hitting 54.3% inside. They are 37.1% outside of it and a respectable 121 in EFGD. Here's the story with Gonzaga. They came on strong here down the home stretch. They fell short in the WCC conference tournament final against St. Mary's, who took two out of three of them on the season. Still, they're number 12 in bar total the last 30 days. They're number 13 in EFG offense, a net in 56.3% inside the arc, 41.6% outside of it. They're very similarly ranked as McNeese and EFGD. Their biggest issue, though, is defensive rebounds. They're number 293 in college basketball. That's problematic against a team that gets nothing but second chance opportunities, and they're 3-point D. They're giving up 37.8%. from the perimeter, and as I said, McNeese shooting over 37% as a team along the arc. So I think the weaknesses of the Zags will play to the strengths of McNeese, and if they get, you know, turnovers galore, like Ryan Nimhard is having a problem with that pressure, there could be some easy sprint outs as well. I sprinkle a little bit on the money line with McNeese, but I love them covering the 6.5 against Gonzaga. I know it's a brand name. And I know McNeese is kind of trendy pick right now in the open market, but I'm buying it -110 at BetMGM. Lundy, are you buying my take? Fade or follow?
I've already done this, Brad. I've got a full unit bet on McNeese to cover. I've got a half unit bet at +225 for McNeese for the upset. I know they're the trendy upset pick, but there's kind of a reason for that. And it's because of the matchup. It's because of the three-point shooting that Brad talked about. McNeese can drain it from outside, and Gonzaga is not all that great at guarding the perimeter. They're not. Yeah. And so you put that together, and do I think McNeese can cover? Yeah, actually I do. And I think they've got a shot at pulling the upset. There are a lot of the analysts that say of all of the number five seeds in the tournament, Gonzaga got the worst draw.
Well, they were overseeded anyway. They should have been like an eight, to be honest with you.
Yes, they should be. And so you put all that together. I think this has upset special written all over it. So I love the idea of catching the 6.5 points. By the way, I have seen it at some of the books where the hook is gone and it's just +6, by the way. So make sure you keep an eye out. You may decide you want that hook, avoid the push, that kind of thing. But I, like I said, I put a half unit on McNeese for the straight upset at +225 and shop that one around a little bit because I've seen it as low as +200 and all the way up to about +225. So if you are going to roll with me on the idea of sprinkling something on them on the money line, make sure you're getting the most juice you can.
Back Will Wade. He's likely to drop a bag.
number one.
Numero uno here on the Fade 5 Midwest Region Countdown. My top play, Earmuffs Lundy's wife. I'm going to go with Samford, plus 8.5 now against Kansas at a minus 110 juice at BetMGM. This opened at 7.5. I would play it at that. Definitely like it even more at 8.5. If you want to play this in the SGP market, you could take Samford up. Maybe take Kansas on the money line if you feel they're going to win straight up. Take the total down and slam the over and live in the middle and maybe profit handsomely as well. Samford can play, man. This is a team that is really unintimidated and undeterred. They are number 118 in Bar Torvik over the last 30 days, and they speed up the tempo. Number 32 in adjusted tempo during that stretch. Number 37 at EFG offense. They're shooting 58.4% inside the arc and filling up from outside as well at 35.1%. Now, defense is a flaw. Turnovers, another flaw. Offensively, they're coughing up the rock 18.8% of the time, but they get to the line and they could score at will, especially on a backdoor cuts inside. And you look at Kansas. I know the news is good on Dickinson and McCullough, but even with those guys on the floor over a wide swath of the last 30 days, they're 266 in EFG offense, and they're 203 in EFG defense. They've been lousy. This seems to be like Bucknell, Bradley, Northern Iowa situation all over again for KU. It wouldn't floor me. It wouldn't shock me if Samford won straight up, but I will gloriously and happily take plus 8.5 with the dogs in this one against Lundy's wife's Jayhawks. Rock chalk, Lundy. I know where you got to go because you got to stay married, but you know where I'm side. A minus 110 juice at BetMGM. Fade or follow.
I'm fading, but I'm actually fading beyond just what, you know, my fandom is in terms of my wife and her love for the Jayhawks. And again, those that have followed you and I on the podcast for long enough. By the way, if you want to get devilish, Brad, this is episode 666 of this podcast.
Oh, well, I am in Satan incarnated, so yeah. It makes sense.
But if you followed us on social, you followed us on this podcast for long enough, you know that my wife and I were in New Orleans when they beat North Carolina for the championship. We were there for that one. So I do have a fandom. But I will tell you this, much the way that Brad tries to put aside his fandom for Illinois when he talks about the Fighting Illini, I am also trying to do that with the Jayhawks. Here's what I would like to remind everybody. I understand what this team has done recently. I know we can talk about that statistically. But I can also point out to you that this is a Kansas team that, when healthy, beat Houston, Baylor, and UConn this year. All three of them. They beat all three of them. And two of those teams are the two favorites to cut down the nets in Glendale. I just want to throw that out there as a reminder. Yes, I understand what they have looked like and what we can talk about statistically over the last 30 days. And I don't think you can ignore that. But I also don't think you can ignore that this is a team that beat all three of those over the course of this season when they were healthy. So I just want to throw that out there. I also will say this. The thing where I think Samford is going to be in trouble, and this is what would totally affect what I decided to do with the bet. What I'm telling you to do right now is because I believe McCullough and Dickinson are going to play and are going to be effective. Samford doesn't have an answer for Dickinson down low. They don't. Kansas should be able to, and Dickinson should be able to absolutely clean the glass on these guys and keep them from getting second chance opportunities and maybe give Kansas their own second chance opportunities. Because of that, I believe Kansas wins this by at least 10. So I have to fade you in this one. I do. I think I have to fade you in this one. This is a funky matchup, and there's a lot of variables with KU. But I am making this pick based on what I believe when it comes to their health. But I will tell you this. I'm doing it for purposes of the podcast. You and I are recording this on a Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
If there is different information over the course of the next 24 hours, I would absolutely change my pick. I'm going
out the window.
I will. So this is me making a pick for purposes of the pod. I have not yet made a bet on this game. I'm simply offering up what I believe is going to happen. That's why I took Kansas at the start of the pod at the plus 125 to make the Sweet 16, because I believe Gonzaga is overseeded. And I believe that if Kansas is healthy, that they can get out of both the first and the second round. So I'm just, like I said, I know I'm putting a lot of asterisks and I sound like I'm just second guessing myself, but I wanted to be able to point out, like I said, one of the things I think I keep coming back to it. People forget UConn, Baylor, Houston, Bill Self and Kansas beat all three of them this year. Doesn't mean they're going to do it in the tournament. Doesn't mean that they won't fall on their face. But if you're going to talk to me about what they've done in the last couple of weeks, you've also got to talk to me about what they did when they were perfectly healthy.
What have you done for me lately? That's all I got to say about that. All right.
But Brad, here's the thing. If Dickinson and McCuller were not sitting where they were health-wise, this spread would be at least 4 points in more in Kansas's favor.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that, but there again, there's a lot of question marks, and they have not played well when even healthy.
That's what I'm, but what I'm trying to tell you is, because first of all, McCuller hasn't been healthy for a while, including when they tried to bring him back. He should have been sitting on the shelf. Yep. They should not have tried to bring him back. Dickinson is a different story because Dickinson is what they have in terms of the big body. Okay, it's just it's what they've got, and I understand that, and that's why I think that he can take advantage of Samford, because I don't think they have the size. I don't think they have the ability to deal with a guy that's 7'2" and cleans the glass. So I'm all just throwing.
Well, Lundy's earned plenty of brownie points.
I'm just saying
on Kansas with the misses. So he's expressed himself. I think he's tapped out.
Brad, here's the other fun part, though, is that if they make it to the Sweet 16, I'm actually going to be in Vegas at the end of next week, so then it'll be a ton of fun.
Oh, hell yeah, it will be. Yeah, buy me a round. I wish I was with you. All right, it's bonus time. Armageddon all the damn time. Crank the death lever. All right.
Let me get out my bracket here. Who did we not talk about yet?
Well, we've got two playing games, so we don't know what the match is going to be. Purdue against the 16, that's either going to be Montana State or Grambling.
If you're listening to this podcast early enough, give me Montana State all day long.
I don't disagree with that. The other one, we got Texas, Virginia, and Colorado State winner. I'm going to side with Colorado State in a game that could be like first at 55 wins.
I will take CSU in that game, and then I will take the Rams to beat the Longhorns.
I don't disagree with you there, because we've seen a lot of success of first four teams in the NCAA tournament. In the existence of the first four going on and winning another game, that makes the most sense to me. I'm with you on that one.
CSU is the one of the four play-in games that I think is the most likely to make it into the round of 32. They got completely disrespected. We've already outlined that.
Yeah.
They got completely hosed by the committee. I'm sorry. I can't take, I'm going to reiterate what I said on a previous episode. You cannot take a team that at one point was ranked number 13 in the country and put them in a flipping play-in game. It is laughable what they did.
They went Boise State. They all got just slighted.
In terms of bracket, I love CSU, but I also like CSU to then also make it past the Longhorns. I think they would be a matchup. I think they would be a matchup nightmare for Texas.
At Texas and 199 at EFGD over the last 30 days. All right, last game, Creighton and Akron. Creighton favored by 12.5. I'm going to lay the chalk with the Blue Jays. Will you follow me?
Yeah, I would do that with that one. This feels like about a 15 or 16 point game. I feel like this is one where Creighton gets out to a lead, and then Akron's kind of hanging around. So let me give you, in full disclosure, Brad, this spread between Creighton and Akron opened at 15.5, and I jumped on it. I took Akron plus 15.5 because I thought that was too many points. But you talked about it at 12.5. I saw it come as low as 11.5. I think it's going to happen somewhere in that 10 to 15 range. I really do. That's why I took Akron. I only did it. I did basically like a 3/4 unit bet. I didn't do a full unit bet, but I thought my gut reaction was that 15.5 was too much.
I'll give you a quick background on Akron before I wrap up the show. 202 and Bartorvik over the last 30 days, their biggest issue, twofold actually, turnovers. They're coughing up 18% of their possessions, one of the worst rates in the country, and they're only shooting 29.7% the last 30 days from three. They cannot hang with Creighton and all their weapons and ability to hang like 80, 85 on them, shooting 29.7% from three. Really? And shooting themselves in the foot in the process. All right, we're out of breath. I'm out of time.
I'm just saying I felt like it was too many points. I felt like it was too many points.
It could be on the original number.
And I think it came back to where it should be, which is right around 11 and a half or 12. I just 15 and a half at the time was too much. I'm probably pissing that money away too.
That's all good, man. I'm going to piss away so many units.
I got to find the rest of my clothes. I started taking my clothes off during this episode.
Hopefully his pants are also still on. Sign up for a free account at thegamingjuice.com right now. A ton of NCAA tournament content is live and available. Lundy's NHL picks are live and available as well every single day. All my picks live and available. Always free, always transparent. That's how we rock and roll at thegamingjuice.com. Drop us a rating and review at your convenience and fade or follow us on the X or Twitter. Check out Lundy and all his hot takes at Nate Lundy and myself at Noisy Huevos. We're a man who loves to hear little pull some sugar on me. I'm Brad Evans. That's Nate Lundy. Until next time, good luck in your brackets. As always, fade or follow. That is up to you.